Petersburg's Public Safety Advisory Board discussed the tsunami warning response at a meeting this month. Police Chief Jim Agner thought the community's response went well under tough circumstances.
Because this was some of the worst possible conditions. It was just above freezing. It was the middle of the night. And it was raining. It was about a miserable thing. And the entire community did very well.
Yeah. A tsunami warning was issued following the magnitude 7.5 earthquake that rocked the region just before midnight January 4th. That quake was located off the coast of Southeast, about 71 miles from Craig. Here in Petersburg, residents were urged to move inland to higher ground. Many received notice of the warning through the community's Code Red notification system. Police also announced the evacuation over loudspeakers while driving along the waterfront. Agner told the board that dispatchers moved out of the downtown police building and worked from a communications trailer and from the new fire hall.
We have done a couple of sort of dry runs, but there's some things you just don't do. And one of them was throwing a switch, and we turned off this police facility.
Mm-hmm.
And when I walked out to close the door, and for probably the first time in 50 years, no one was in that building for a fairly significant amount of time. We walked away, and we seamlessly made the conversion on both phones and radios.
Agner said other things did not go as hoped. The Code Red warning system, for instance, he said the emergency warning phone system notified many people about the tsunami danger, but far fewer people received the all-clear warning. The board agreed that one big need was for community members to prepare emergency ready bags with supplies in case people can't return immediately to their homes. And board member Jim Engel said another need to consider in planning was a place for people to gather without vehicles. He said police dropped off one couple where he was waiting at the Hammer and Weekon parking lot.
You know, obviously when the hospital was evacuated, they were brought to Mountain View Manor, but coming up with a pre-designated place for that population of people who don't have a vehicle to sit in, that don't have the ability to just say, hey, can I jump in your car? What do you do with that group? And it isn't necessarily a large population, but it's enough that, the hour and a half that we were up there, they would have froze.
Other people waited out the warning at the Petersburg Indian Association, the Alaska Airlines Terminal, and the Baylor facility, to name a few. Some residents chose not to leave their homes. Many evacuated to the location originally designated as the community's gathering spot in Petersburg's disaster response plan, the ball fields. At a meeting of the Borough Assembly this month, Manager Steve Giesbrecht acknowledged problems with sending so many people there.
Everybody goes to the ball field, and then we had a mess at the ball field. You know, the lighting is not as good. There's only one way in and out. Bathrooms weren't open. So it may not be long-term the best place to send the whole town to all at once. So we got to work through that a little bit.
Petersburg's local emergency planning committee will be taking another look at the community's plan and determining other evacuation sites. Giesbrecht also told the assembly that the borough was looking into the cost of completing an inundation study.
It's seemingly spending money on something that we maybe already know, but it basically says in the event of a tsunami, it starts to outline where we should send people. And today, because we've never done that, we have to tell people the standard response, which is 1 mile inland or 100 feet up, which kind of limits where we can send to people.
An inundation study is one requirement for designation as a tsunami-ready community. That's a National Weather Service program aimed at helping coastal areas plan for the potential impacts of an ocean wave. Other requirements are developing a formal tsunami plan, holding emergency exercises, and posting signs for evacuation routes and safe zones. In Alaska, 16 communities, including Juneau, Sitka, and Yakutat in Southeast, are already designated tsunami-ready. And there are already a few tsunami zones posted on Mitkoff Island. Drivers might have noticed the signs on Mitkoff Highway near Crystal Lake Hatchery south of Petersburg. Those mark safe zones for the event of a failure of the Crystal Lake Dam, which could drop reservoir water down the mountain into the roadway and buildings below. Sandy Dixon, the fire and EMS director, as well as the chair of the local emergency planning committee, says an inundation study and tsunami-ready designation for the community may depend on the cost and finding funding. However, short of a full study, she says the community could still map out safe areas.
It probably wouldn't hurt to start with the 100-foot elevation, because that's just a general rule of thumb that the state has put out there, the 100-foot elevation mark or 1 mile inland. And it would be good for people out the road, especially, to find out where that point is for them and where they should go. And obviously that would be the cheaper route.
Dixon agrees that the response January 4th went well, but says communication is always an issue. The community's warning siren failed, and officials are looking into that problem. Also, a number of people did not receive the notification on the Code Red system, including Dixon. She's one of the system's administrators. Dixon says she's heard from others who are also not notified.
And my recommendation to them was to go into the system to ensure that you are registered and that you did put appropriate phone numbers in. And then again, trying to troubleshoot where that disconnect was, because I should have, I have four numbers listed, and again, I didn't get the calls. So there is some type of disconnect there, and we're trying to figure that out.
Other than a test of the system, the evacuation was the first community-wide call out on the Code Red system. And Dixon encourages people to plan ahead and take personal responsibility for readiness.
Don't think of just a tsunami, but what if their house was damaged? What would they have done? What if they would have been where the power has been out? So it's not just big events where it affects the whole community. What about just their neighborhood or just their home? So being ready, you know, what medications do you need to go? Do you need money? Do you need a change of clothes? If you have babies, do you need diapers and wipes, kind of thing? So, and we as the city can't provide that for each individual family. Mm-hmm. So we can do general things.
She also suggests people get their information from reliable sources like the radio or Code Red system, and to be careful about unsubstantiated information sent around on social media. The Alaska Earthquake Information Center says January's quake was the largest recorded in Southeast since a 6.8 tremor in June of 2004. Other strong earthquakes were also recorded on the same fault in August of 1949 and July of 1972. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.